Hello and welcome to Lush. On July the 10th this year, birdwatcher and conservationist Georgia Locock posted a blog that started, "Later this morning, after catching the 7:35 train, I should arrive at Preston Station for 9:50, which is where I will start my 191-mile walk from Preston to Carlisle. The route I'll be following will take me along parts of the Ribble Way, through the Forest of Bowland via the Yorkshire Dales, along the Pennine Way, across the North Pennines, and following parts of Hadrian's Wall, before arriving in Carlisle a week on Saturday. That's if all goes well, which I'm hoping it will." Blog went on to say that the walk was raising money to support the British Trust for Ornithology's SWIFT project, a long-term study to determine why the population of one of the UK's most iconic summer visitors is declining so fast. My name's Charlie Moores, and I first met Georgia a few years ago, and I just had to catch up with her once she'd finished her marathon trek through northern England, which I'm happy to say did all go well. So last week I headed to Spurn Bird Observatory and Spurn Point, a key migration watch point at the mouth of the River Humber to the east of Hull, where Georgia was staying. And after a little searching, I found her watching birds, of course. Georgia, hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Found you, sea watching.
Yes.
Let's have a chat.
Okay.
How was your feet after
They're
your epic
right.
walk?
I had a few sort of sore days, but that was more sort of when I was doing the walk, and then it was sort of overcoming that, and then towards the last few days, it's sort of the adrenaline sort of pumping me to finish, the excitement to getting it done.
You were talking about on your Facebook post as well about getting sunburnt.
Yes, sunburnt.
On your shoulders?
On my shoulders and on the back of my leg the one day, because obviously being quite high up in places, I thought, well, I'll be all right. And then next thing you know, when I get back, legs were stinging in my shoulders. Yeah.
Before we start talking about your epic walk, which mm-hmm. is just fantastic, I'm so proud for you. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you.
We're here at Spurn. This is almost like a second home for you, isn't it?
It is, well, definitely, yeah, and it will be hopefully more over the next couple of months, yeah.
Because?
Yeah, I'm going to university in Hull, which is obviously just down the road, so spend as much time as I possibly can up here.
Now, my brother, Niall, yeah. also went to Hull Uni.
Oh, right.
Which is how I used to end up at
yeah.
Spurn back in the 80s when.
Yeah.
So I'm probably as old as your parents at least.
Oh, brilliant.
And it's changed a great deal.
Oh, I bet, yeah, definitely.
So we're sat here on the coastline. As I came up, I was thinking, I'm sure there was a lot more cliff here.
Yeah, it's really it's one of the
really
fastest
eroding,
roading,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So let's move on from the memories for a little bit. Your walk,
then.
191
yes.
miles.
Yes, it was. Well, by the time I'd done all the tracking and perhaps got lost a few times, it worked out about 200
miles.
You got
lost a few times.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, well, you're bound to, weren't you?
Yeah.
And you were raising money for the British Trust for Ornithology, the
I
BTO.
Was, yes. I was raising money for them and specifically the work that they're doing on tagging swifts.
Yeah, why did you choose swifts?
Well, I'm sort of through coming here, actually, which is really apt. When I first come here 2 years ago, I came at sort of prime time for seeing swift movement here in June, July time. And I was just, I'd love swifts, thought they were great, but seeing sort of, I think we had a day and it was about 4,000, right? And sort of seeing
wow.
that many and just realising themselves how fantastic birds they are, I thought, these are super. Obviously, I knew about sort of their decline and the problems that they face, and obviously, I looked more into the work that's being done
yeah.
to sort of reverse this and work that the BTO are doing in tracking them and tagging them to try and work out what's going wrong in their migration and sort of during their breeding season.
Right,
yeah.
Let's expand that a little, because there will be people listening who don't know what
yeah,
swifts are,
of course,
and why
yeah.
should they? But they are the most supremely aerial birds.
Yes.
They're very
yeah.
dark. They're the birds that, again, well, I'm starting to reminisce, but when I was younger, the sky seemed to be full of swifts. They'd mm-hmm. arrive all of a sudden,
yeah.
and you'd hear this screaming sound.
Yes,
and
that call.
Yeah, just that amazing call, which if you've ever heard it slowed down, is actually a series of single notes.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
It is.
And that the swifts sleep on the wing, they mate on the wing, and for years and years and years, there was no clue whereabouts they went after they'd come here. Yeah. And they're actually only, I mean, we call them a British bird, but they're only here for about three months of the year.
Yeah, they're not here for very long
at all. Really, really not here at all.
You have to savour them while they're here, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, and they're just... Yeah. Almost don't like using the word iconic, but they were an iconic summer bird, along with cuckoos and turtle doves, which are, again are all in decline.
Yes.
So swifts have declined. The figures vary, but it seems to be around 60% over the last 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And that decline apparently is accelerating, we think.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Yeah, I think that's what they're sort of concerned about. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're not sure where the decline is, whether it's on the breeding grounds here in Europe or on the wintering ground or non-breeding grounds.
What's going
in
on,
Africa.
Yeah. And then obviously by improving and the tags that they're able to put onto the birds, and they'll be able to see what's going on. And
for people who don't know much about satellite tagging.
Yes.
The old, I mean, talking like a really down memory lane. It was almost like you had to strap a transistor pack, and only really large birds were capable of handling these things. They just couldn't take off. They couldn't fly with them. I mean, a swift is probably not much bigger than a sparrow with very long side-like wings. So it's a tiny, very light bird. So these satellite tags need to be tiny and very light.
Yeah.
And that's where the tech is leading us at the moment.
Yes, yeah. So that's it. So like the satellite tags they're putting, they're doing it as cuckoos a lot, and people will be more aware of what's going on with them. I think they're about 5 grams, but they're working to get down to sort of like, when they get down to about 1 gram, sort of really tiny things, and they will be sort of small enough to put onto swifts. And that sort of technology will really give an accurate picture of where they're going and what's happening and weather patterns and...
Right.
Things like that, yeah.
Because we've a much clearer idea of where swifts are going. The point about why they were hard to find is because when they're non-breeding, they don't land.
No,
they were just circling over rainforests somewhere.
Yeah, and there's always this sort of questions about what the first year birds are doing as well, which is what is what we see passing through Spurn on passage, and where they're going, and what, because obviously they don't breed in the first year, but what are they doing instead? And obviously with that sort of data and information, it will just uncover so much, and it's just going to be really exciting. Yeah. It'd be really incredible to see what they are doing and what's happening. Yeah.
And when we talk about decline, there's two things that come to mind in the UK particularly. They're aerial feeders on insects, and our insect populations have just crashed through pesticide overuse.
Yeah.
And historically, they would have nested in holes in trees or in cliff holes, but they tended to nest under eaves or in houses or little cracks in the roof. And we don't allow our roofs to be in a state of disrepair as we see it these days.
Yeah.
And they're being excluded from there.
Yeah, and obviously like housing developments and how houses are built, they're not able to. They're struggling a lot through that sort of...
So that's the background to the walk.
Yes.
You were aiming to raise...
I put my page up to like £500 sort of, that'd be brilliant. And then I sort of got that...
Soared
really,
past that.
Yeah, I got through that really quick. And then obviously I'm sort of heading towards £3,000
now. I looked on, I think 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I chipped in another little bit.
Oh, thank you.
I thought I'd better have. And you were over 2,700.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of about there now still, yeah.
That's fantastic.
I know, I didn't expect that at all. And obviously I thought, so it being such a specific course and for swifts and obviously not something so broad, what most people normally do it for, I was just absolutely chuffed a bit that I'd reached that much. And it was really driving me along when I was doing the walk and having the sort of the sluggish days and difficult times, but just thinking that how much generosity of some people and donating that.
I think a lot of people were supporting you as much as they're supporting swifts.
Yeah.
Because tell me a little bit about yourself. You're only 19.
18.
18. Are you still 18? When's 19?
January.
Okay,
so a few months.
18 and a half when you did this.
Yeah.
And instead of just sort of thinking I'll do a short little walk, maybe a
10-mile walk around a park, you opted for most of the Pennine Way.
It was, yeah, so the middle bit was the Pennine Way, and then following bits of Hadrian's Wall and the Ribble Way through Lancashire. Yeah, so I really enjoy long distance walking and just being outside, and I'd always wanted to do one that was sort of overnight and a long, proper challenge.
Yeah.
And then sort of looked into doing that one. I thought that looks like a really good idea, and it incorporated some really nice areas along the Pennine Way and into Lancashire and further north in the Pennines and through Cumbria. So I thought,
some steep climbing.
That it was. There was lots of climbing, not as much, more than I expected. Obviously on the Yorkshire Dales and things like Penny Ghent and over Malham and Crossfow and. Last 2 days were okay, sort of following the Hadrian's Wall path. It was a bit lighter on my feet.
I actually walked the Pennine Way in 1978.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus
wow.
Jesus Christ. That's a long time ago. I'm sure the hills will have eroded since then. But it's a hell of a challenge. I did it with three friends.
Yeah.
Who did you do it with?
I did it bits and bobs. I did it with my granddad for quite a bit of it. But that was mainly it, really, yeah. I sort of wanted to... I was really enjoyed it, though. It was such good fun.
Turn flying over.
Yeah. There's a few moving. There was quite a few last night moving over the sea. I think they had over 1,000 common turns. And there was
really?
A roseate one seen last night as well, yeah.
Which is Britain's rarest breeding tern.
Yes, yeah.
So I met you first. I was trying to remember. You were probably 14 or 15.
A few years ago.
Would the 14-year-old self, who I remember being very shy, very quiet, would the 14-year-old self ever imagined that the 18-year-old self would have walked 191 miles to raise money for Swifts?
I don't think so, no. Especially some doing perhaps that much, that sort of far a distance, but I was always sort of wanting to just do what I could and sort of help in any way I can. To think if I was to have known and sort of thinking forward raising that much money, I'd never have imagined that. And obviously it's for such a great course, and it is sort of like a decent amount that's going that could have some sort
amount.
Of that's, it's going to have some sort of impact and sort of create some sort of change and hopefully support what's the work that the BTO are going to be doing, definitely. And also the publicity that it's had, sort of like talking sort of a lot of feedback on the page and on Twitter and social media, creating a lot of attention for this work that they're going to be doing, obviously the decline with Swifts as well. So I think that'll be really good as well, that's been created, hopefully help the BTO and the project and getting the funds for that, definitely. Yeah.
That's really good, isn't it? We're talking at the end of July. The British Bird Fair is in a couple of weeks.
It is,
presumably you'll be there about this.
I'll be at the Bird Fair. I'm looking forward to it. So it's not long at all, is it?
No,
yeah.
The last time I saw you, actually, was at last
was
year's
it?
Bird
yeah.
Fair. You were just about to interview Chris Packham live on stage, and you were so nervous.
Oh,
I didn't blame you
it.
At all. I interviewed him, and he's like a big hero, you know? And
you just
got to get it right. But that was a fantastic interview.
Thank you. No, that's it. It's just sort of what to ask and sort of thinking about what the audience want to hear as well.
It was a big audience. Very full marquee.
Yes.
And we're talking like a big marquee. About 1,000 people there.
There's a lot of people in there, yeah.
But he was so good, wasn't he?
He was very good, and he was sort of... he's really good how he sort of he brought it back and spoke about the future generation stuff as well and young people, and obviously he's sort of really passionate about that and what and young people getting involved with conservation campaign and speaking out and having that platform. And in the past he's sort of helped me and given me that platform and others as well, and
he's been very supportive of you, hasn't
he? He's been absolutely brilliant, and it's been really, really helpful and sort of given me a really good step and made me feel a lot more confident in sort of speaking out and wanting to pursue what I want to do with trying to make some sort of change or something.
Again, if the 14-year-old you were to look now, I don't think you ever set out to be a spokesperson for women bird watchers.
Perhaps no.
But it's kind of turning that way, isn't it?
Mate, yeah, I suppose so. Perhaps.
Are you happy with
that? From
that
angle. Yeah, well, yeah, definitely, as long as it's sort of something that's obviously positive and something that's just sort of speaking out and sort of for a positive cause, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, because that's not what the shy Georgia of
no,
a while back...
No, I still really... have my moments. I still be a little bit shy, yeah, but no, it's difficult sort of just being confident in what you have got to say and wanting... And well, I do want to say that it's just having the confidence to go and do that. And it can be difficult sometimes, and obviously the pressure of that and the intimidation of perhaps being a little bit younger. And but obviously, they've got just... young people and people wanting to get into conservation have got just as much a voice. If anything, theirs is more important in ways because it's what's going to be there in 20, 30 years' time and what's they're having an impact on that, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, precisely as I was saying about Swiss, remembering Swiss being so common.
Yeah.
And we've got kids growing up who wouldn't know what a Swift is.
Exactly, yeah.
And would very rarely get the chance to see them in these clouds that used to fly over the cities, over the towns.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not there anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
We're talking at Spurn Point, and obviously, like you said, you're going to be at Hull University. You almost chose Hull University because of Spurn Point, not the other way around.
I probably shouldn't admit that, but yeah.
Why not? You're fine. They're lucky to have you, Georgia. Think of it that way.
No, obviously, I absolutely just love coming here. I could spend just be here all the time. And through when I was doing my A-levels, I was sort of coming up during all my half terms. And as much as it was also good to be here, and I had time just to go and do a bit of revision and studying as well, when it's just going to be absolutely brilliant to think that I can sort of be up here nearly most weekends throughout sort of the next few years whilst I'm at Hull Uni.
And how's the observatory been in terms of supporting you as a young bird watcher?
They couldn't have done it anymore. I feel it's just such a great place to come, as in sort of coming for the birds and seeing those and enjoying the place, but then also the people have been a huge part of that as well, sort of the local community birders who come and regulars, and they're just so supportive and just they're all here for the same reason. They'll just have really good laugh with them, and they're just a really great bunch.
Because that's extremely important, isn't it? Because you know, you can have all the passion in the world, you can be as skilled as you like, but if the people who are on the scene don't make you feel welcome, you can almost feel like people are almost looking at you saying, we don't want you here.
Exactly, yeah.
That's a very difficult thing to get past when you're only young and you're trying to establish yourself, you're trying to learn as much as you can. Mm-hmm. It's other bird watchers and more experienced people that you're trying to learn from.
Yeah, oh yeah, God, definitely. They've got so much knowledge. I mean, some people have been coming like their whole life sort of, and 30, 40 years sort of solid experience, and you just want to absorb it all. They've just got so much to tell and so much knowledge to sort of share and experience. It's just really important, and they're willing to do that. They want to do that, and they're not afraid to sort of answer your questions and so on. And it's not just with everyone who comes as well, it's sort of younger people coming here. Such a good young community here of young birders coming through and sort of more and more. And then there's the groups which they have, like the Spurn Migration Festival, the event organised by the Bird Observatory.
Which is only a couple of years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really taking off.
That's it. They've got their the Young Birders competition as well, and that attracts more young people to here, and all the support at the observatory. And they've started giving like free online membership for young birders now for the observatory
things that they do.
So yeah,
isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. And there's a lot of young people behind it though that are sort of really involved with the committee and thinking forward in what's going to be happening here. Yeah.
What do you see your status now? You're a senior young birder.
I suppose
it's quite strange,
isn't
it?
It is. Definitely. It's a really sort of good group of sort of like. Sort of coming through, it's really great, and obviously that's come about through the use of social media as well, especially Twitter and all the networking they have using Twitter and Facebook and all the online groups. Yeah,
I said that you were becoming a role model, which I know you're reluctant to accept that, but you are, because not only are you a good bird watcher, not only are you passionate, you're a campaigner. You believe in these things and you're going out and actually you're trying to make a difference. So people are looking up to you. Are you finding that this is where I was going with this senior young person. Have you got now young people that are coming up to you and saying, Georgia, help me, support me?
Yeah, well, I could probably think of one or two sort of good examples of that. Yeah, so
how good does that make you feel?
It's really nice. I just love to see them so sort of, even though they're only a few years younger than me, so passionate about what they're doing and sort of really getting involved with it so young, and obviously writing blogs and just going to these events and just doing like as I wanted to do and am now, just getting involved in any way they can and sort of speaking out in any way they can. Yeah,
you're exactly the person they should be coming to. It's fantastic that you're there. You are really important. I mean, it's a great thing to be able to see. I shouldn't keep going on about the shy, quiet Georgia of a few years ago, but it's amazing. The more you come out of yourself, the more help and support you can be, because you can understand just how it felt. You can understand how it felt coming to an observatory for the first time, or trying to set up a project in school for the first time.
It was really hard at first, and sort of thinking, where do you start? Because you think you see other people sort of perhaps so older people doing it and sort of involved with these campaigns and doing work, and you just want to get involved and do it yourself too, and it's difficult to know where to start and what to do. And it can just be simple things, sort of say using social media, which is such a powerful tool now, writing blogs and just going to these events and just using what you have to say and what you want to do.
And you need to know that someone is out there prepared to feed back and encourage you, or to tell you, look, this is how I did it, this is a better way. And they're not listening to people like me, they're listening to people like you, which is a fantastic thing. So, whole uni soon. What are you studying?
I'm going to be doing zoology. I'm doing zoology, so I'm still not sure what I want to do after that, but it's a good starting point to sort of think.
But it will be something protecting wildlife conservation.
Yeah, somewhere along there, definitely. I just enjoy sort of doing what I'm doing at the moment, just with the campaign side and getting really involved with that and not having any restrictions on me either. Like, I feel I wouldn't just be having my own free voice just to speak out and use my blog and social media to do that and not feel sort of pressured to be quiet about things and so on. Yeah.
I can't see anyone keeping you quiet now.
I don't
they might
think
have
so.
Tried a while ago, but you don't mess with Georgia Locock because she ain't going to stop for nobody, which is a wonderful thing. So you don't know what your plans are in terms of life careers. What about the next campaign? Have you thought about that yet, or are you still recovering from the walk?
Yeah, still recovering from the walk a bit, I think. I've got a few events planned over the next few weeks and stuff, and obviously with what's happening with the badger cull, and I'm thinking what's going to be happening with that this year.
It's not just birds, is it?
Of course,
all forms of wildlife.
In Staffordshire, this is where I come from. My local badger group has just started off with vaccinating, like off our own back, and fundraising money that we've raised, and with the neighbouring Derbyshire badger group. So we've just started up with doing that, so it's just seeing what's going to be happening this year with the cull and what we need to do, because obviously we could see expansion up into the Midlands. Cheshire
could easily happen,
at risk,
which kind of puts the lie that it's anything to do with cattle,
yeah, it's all just expanding out of into
shoots and anywhere that badgers are, they want
to
remove.
So
there's quite a lot to do.
There is, definitely, exactly. We've got no time to sort of go and have a rest or anything. Get straight back into it,
You need a rest occasionally to get your feet recovering.
Yeah, if it's not that, definitely. You need to sort of have a rest, keep yourself together.
So hopefully I'll see you at Bird Fair.
Yes,
which
definitely
is in a couple of weeks, so I'll get this online for then. George, I hope I don't sound patronising, but I'm so proud of you and what you've done.
Thank you.
Everything you're doing, you are a role model, and I think we need people like you. You are so crucially important to British wildlife. I am really proud of you.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for doing this.
Not at all, thank you.
Cheers.
The wonderful Georgia Locock talking at Spurn. If you'd like to learn more about her walk, please go to justgiving.com/fundraising/Georgia Locock. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Lush, and our ever-growing archive contains interviews, debates and stories with a wide range of charities, organisations and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple.